Okay, we begin here on the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. Tanu Banan, Harei Zigiteich, Amanat Shetinasi Liploni. This is your get on the condition that you marry so and so. Harizo Lo Tinasei. She may not marry that individual. Vimni Seit, but if she does marry, Lo Teitzei. We don't force a divorce. Maika Amar, what is meant by this Braita? Amar Rav Nachman, Afik Amar, this is what it's meant. Harizo lo tinasei, lo. He should not marry the individual that he specified in the condition of the divorce. Shema yomru nishehem notnim b'matana. Because otherwise it looks like they're giving their women as gifts, or in essence treating them like property that they can trade to someone else, compel them to marry someone else. Ve'im niseit la'acher, if she marries some other party, lo teitzei. She doesn't have to get divorced. So now, Rav Nachman's view here is, number one, he won't allow the Tanai to go through because of the optics of the Tanai, which it makes it look like he's trading his wife to be married to someone else. In essence, divorcing her and compelling her to marry someone else. And that we don't want. So that is precludes her from getting married to that individual. As far as getting married to other individuals, the Gemara is going to ask a question in 1 second. But you have an issue, which is that there's a tenai here. And if she gets married to someone else, the get's not a get because she didn't fulfill the condition by which the get becomes effective. So what you have to say here is that Rav Nachman believes that the Chachamim here were oker davar min haTorah, or in essence, they were mevatel the original Kiddushin, like we've seen they've done before, which is that the Chachamim can be oker Kiddushin mikara. And that's how it would work over here. The Gemara obviously asks the question and says, Mishum gzeira lo mafkina mine visharina neshet ish la'alma? Because of a gzeira, we don't force her to divorce this party that she married, and we allow an neshet ish to go? The answer could be yes, according to Rav Nachman's thinking originally. We do such a thing, and we say that the Chachamim have the right to be mafkia kiddushin l'mafreya, and that's how it works. The problem with that is that for such a small gzeira, or a little issue, do we go to that extent? I mean, that's a pretty hefty way to deal with something. You're bringing out the big guns, which is eliminating kiddushin and saying that a person's divorced me, the rabbanan, in order to uphold this gzeirah, which seems to be pretty narrow. We wouldn't usually use such a big solution to a small problem. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Ochi Kamar. So, Rav Nachman changes the way that he views this a little bit. Harizo loti nasei lo. So he upholds that piece of the picture, which is she cannot marry the guy that he specified in the get, because people will say that they are gifting their wives to each other. If she does marry him, because of that little gzeira, we don't worry about it. Meaning that for that problem of the gzeira, we're not going to force her to divorce the guy if she goes ahead and marries him. Because if she does marry him, the get was a good get. She is not an ishid ish. And now it's only a issue of the chachamim that gzeira looks like they're gifting. So the chatchila will say, do not marry that individual. But b'diavad, if she does marry that individual, we're not going to force her to divorce and stop the whole process just because we want to uphold our gzeira. Amalei rova. The Rava suggests over here, based on Rav Nachman's statement, Lohu dulo tinasei. She cannot marry him, haleacher tinasei, but she can marry someone else. Rava is midayek out of the words of Rav Nachman. It's not clear that Rav Nachman ever said such a thing, but he's being midayek out of the words of Rav Nachman now, that Rav Nachman still maintains a certain semblance of his original statement, which is that here it sounds like she only cannot marry him, but she can marry someone else. Doesn't she have to keep the condition of the get? And she's not doing that when she marries someone else. So you know what she'll do? She'll get married today to someone else. And that doesn't mean she won't be mikayim the tnai. She'll get divorced in the future. And then she'll keep the condition. Meaning that she doesn't have to keep the condition immediately and marry this individual. Simply, she will get married to someone else, divorced from them in the future, and then marry this individual sometime later. And that will fulfill the conditions of the get, and that will be fine. Now, the assumption here, and Rashi says this, Tosafot note this, that if she marries another party in the interim, we no longer have this problem of it looking like they're gifting their wives to each other, because she married someone else in the interim. having someone else in the interim already makes it look like there's some sort of break between the husband's original request and her marrying the individual that he demanded in the tnai or the condition of the get. And if you say that that's the case, and that's the way you want to do it, you've now subscribed to the position of the opposition to Rabbi Yehuda's shita, which is Ditmar. We saw this in the Darim a long, long time ago. Konam Einai B'Sheina Hayom says that he takes a neder that he will not sleep today. Im Yishan Lamachar, if I sleep tomorrow. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Al Yishan Hayom, do not sleep today. Shema Yishan Lamachar, because you might sleep tomorrow. So the neder, the effectiveness of the neder is about today. The trigger for the neder is tomorrow. So once you get to the trigger of the neder, today has passed already. Rabbi Yehuda says, as a precaution, do not sleep today, because you might sleep tomorrow. If you sleep tomorrow, then you'll trigger the neder, but you have slept already yesterday, and you'll be in violation of the neder. So as a protective mechanism, we say, don't sleep today, so that whatever happens tomorrow will be irrelevant. Other than Rabbi Nachman Amar, Yishan Hayom, Ben Choshishin Shem Yishan Machar. Rabbi Nachman says, go ahead, sleep today, and then tomorrow you won't be able to sleep. And if you do sleep, you'll be in violation of the nether. But we don't worry about the fact that you're going to violate the trigger tomorrow. Do whatever you want today. But then you're going to have to make sure tomorrow that you don't violate the trigger. So that way you're comparing it to that case or Rav Nachman Shito. Because over here you're suggesting that you can be Mikayim the Tanai after the fact. So we allow you to do whatever you want now because we assume you'll take care of the Tanai in the back end. Just like by sleeping, we say go ahead and sleep today. Because we'll assume that in the back end you won't sleep when the trigger is supposed to happen tomorrow, and then you're fine. So it's over here. Let her get married now, because we assume in the future she'll take care of the condition, fulfilling the condition of marrying this other guy. And so then today we'll let you do whatever you want, because we'll assume you'll do whatever you're supposed to do in the back end. Marcel says, how can you compare these cases? In the case of sleep, everything is within his control. He can make all the decisions about what he wants to do today and what he wants to do tomorrow. Dibai mavriz nafshe bisilovata. He could poke himself with thorns, velonoim, and he won't fall asleep. I mean, he can compel himself to stay up. And since he has the ability to control the situation, we say, fine, go ahead, do whatever you want today, because you can stop yourself from sleeping tomorrow. Hocha bidida kaima ligrushe. Over here, it's in her control to get divorced. Where does she have the right? When she gets married to this individual in the interim, she can't force a divorce from him in order to be Mikayim the Tanai in the back end. She could be in this marriage and stuck in this marriage and not be able to get out. And then she'll never be able to become Mikayim the Tanai. If she can't be Mikayim the Tanai, then the second marriage was problematic from its start. Since she doesn't have enough control in order to compel the divorce, then it's nothing like the case that we just described about sleep, where he has full control over the situation. Now, what's interesting about this is that there is really two problems over here. There's the first problem, which is that she can't get divorced. There's a second problem, is that she also can't compel the other individual to marry her in the back end. I mean, that afterwards, when she's finished with this second marriage and she wants to go back and marry the guy that was in the condition, who says he's going to agree to marry her? So that's a number of problems. So some of the Rishonim, like the Rashba says, that it's a derivative question. It's an unspoken question here. Obviously, she can't force a divorce. But even if she managed to force the divorce, she still can't compel the other guy to marry her. So we have two problems along the way, which both of which she doesn't control. She doesn't control the divorce, and she can't control the other individual marrying her. Now, the truth is that there is a way that she could compel a divorce, and that is, there was a period of time in which the Geonim established a mechanism by which women could get out of marriages. And that's what they call moredet, or when she says, ma'usalai, I don't want this marriage, Beit Din would intervene on behalf of the woman and force a divorce in that case. So the women were given that protection, starting really in the time of the Geonim, that we started to intervene on their behalf to force divorces when they were unhappy and so they could get out of marriages. The Rabbeinu Tam, later on, in the Gemara in Ketubot, suggests that we don't abide by that, and we do not compel divorces in the cases of Moredit. And that's what Tosafot, you'll see over here, says, Ulufi Perush Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, Delo Kaifinen Le Necha. In a case where we do not force a divorce, Tosfot is speaking to the Shita of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, who do not abide by this takana of the Geonim, and say that we do not compel divorces. Even if a woman says, Ma'usalai, we do not compel a divorce. Tosfot is basically asking, what do you mean it's not in her control? It is in her control. She'll just say, Ma'usalai, Beitin will come in and force a divorce. So she has a way to get out of the marriage. So Tosfot says, that is a problem. According to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, we say a woman can't do that, meaning that they say that the takanat geonim is not in effect or it's not proper, and therefore they say a woman can't compel a divorce. Then the question of the Gemara is muvan, is understood, because she can't force the divorce. But according to those shitot that believe you can compel a divorce, the woman can compel the divorce, then why she can get out of this marriage. So then he says, Ish lamar, came into kol makom yachola balid chuta, lo bedida kaima li grushe. Says, because the husband can push her off, he can delay, he can do all sorts of things that make it difficult, even when she asks for the divorce, that's not really in her control. She might in the end be able to get what she wants, but it'll take a long time to get there. Maybe that's not in her control. The other possibility, but the other problem is that even if you could get divorced, then she can't get married or compel the next guy to get married to her. Now Tosafot says, if that's the case, then ikar chasim in a sefer. Problem here is not that she can't get divorced. She can get divorced. She just can't get married or compel the marriage to the other guy. So he's not willing to accept that. Again, the Rashba views it as being a hidden question behind here. Even if she figured out a way to get out of this marriage, she still has a secondary problem there, which is that she can't compel the other individual to get married. Although it's possible that she could compel him to get married. We're going to see in the Gemara later on that if she pays enough money, then maybe he'll agree to get married to her. I mean, that there is a way for her to compel such a end game to happen. And so maybe that's why the Gemara does not entertain that possibility, is because there she could, in a sense, compel him through monetary means to marry her. But if you say that, maybe in the divorce you could say the same thing, although, again, by divorce, it's different, because there, in the case of divorce, he may just not want to divorce her, and no matter how much money she gives him, it won't make a difference. Elam Rava, so Rava comes out with an alternate view of how to explain the Braita. Harizo loti nasei lolo v'lo acher. This woman can't marry him or anybody else. Lolo tina say, she can't marry the guy specified in the Tanai. Shemi yomru nishotem notnim b'matana. Because maybe they'll come to say that they're gifting their wives to each other. Lacher lo tina say, the bayek yume l'tana. Because she has to fulfill the condition which she hasn't done. Vim nisei, lo tete. If she marries the guy specified in the Tanai, they do not have to get divorced. Demu mishum gzera lo mafkinan. Because of this gzeira, this takanat chachamim, we're not going to compel her to get out of this marriage. She shouldn't have done it. But once she's done it, we're not going to make her then unwind the marriage. Lacher, if she marries another party, teitzei, we will force a divorce. Debay the kume, that's not, because she has to fulfill the condition. And since she is not fulfilled the condition, we're not going to let her get married in the interim until she has fulfilled the condition. Tanya Kavoti de Rova, we have a Braita that supports this understanding of the Braita according to Rova, which is, Harizo lotina se lolo v'lo acher, she may not marry not him and not anybody else, l'chat chila, v'imne seit, lo lotetze, b'diavad, if she gets married, we don't compel her to get divorced then, l'acher tetze, but if she gets married to a third party, we do force a divorce because the condition has never been fulfilled, and therefore she's still an ish in this case, even if possibly in the back end she could fulfill the Tanai, either because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that we won't allow you to do an action when the Tanai is in the back end because we're afraid you won't be Mekayim the Tanai, or because of the possibility here that the Tanai is not necessarily retroactively make it effective to get. He said Almanat here, so subscribe to Rabbi Kahan and Rabbi's position that Almanat means Me'achshav, then fulfilling the Tanai in the back end would help you, because then retroactively it would be a get. But if you don't believe that Almanat means Me'achshav, then when you fulfill the Tanai, that's when the get goes effective. And so it won't help you for a marriage until you fulfill the Tanai. So for one of those two reasons, we do not allow her to get married to a third party, even if she's Mekayim the Tanai in the back end. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Harizem giteich Almanat shetali l'rakia. This is your divorce on condition that you ascend to the heavens. Amanat shetirdi l'tohom, or that you go down to the depths. Amanat shetivlei kaneh shaldalat amot. The condition that you'll swallow a stick or a staff that is 4 amot long. Amanat shetivlei kaneh ben kufama. The condition you bring me a pole, a staff, a stick that is 100 amot long. On condition that you walk across the Mediterranean on your feet. Ain't no get. That is not a good get. The assumption being that she cannot fulfill the conditions, therefore it's not a get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema omer, kaze get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says this is a fine get. Klar omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. He sets up a principle here that explains why he thinks it's a get. Kol tanai shi'ef sholo l'kaimo b'sofo. Any condition that cannot be fulfilled in the back end, meaning that there's no way to fulfill it. V'hitna alav mitchilato, and he made that a condition of any action. Eino elokim afligah b'dvarim v'kasher. It's an exaggeration of sorts, and therefore it's kasher. When you ask for something that's impossible, we don't say, therefore the get is not a get, like the Chachamim or the Tanakhama says, but rather we say that the t'nai is not a t'nai. The get is a totally fine get. And even from the beginning, you know that it's a false request because you know she can't fulfill it. She can't fulfill it. It's as if the t'nai was never there. And your action to give the get stands and the t'nai falls away. We have that in other cases with, if you fail to do a t'nai, can t'nai b'nei gad b'nei ruvain. So there we don't just say that, oh, the maisa is gone, the whole thing falls apart. No, we say the t'nai falls apart and the maisa, the action remains in place. The t'nai is a way to stop the action from happening. So what Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says over here is, he gave the get, and he made a condition. The condition was trying to stop the action from happening until the condition was fulfilled. But if the condition is meaningless, then all that has happened is the t'nai fell away, but the masa, the action, remains in place. And so therefore it is a good get. Now, Tosafot over here mentions, it's an interesting question, he says that in Baba Metzia, the girsa is, im nikayim atnai, are is a get. Vima aveno get. If she fulfills the condition, it is a good get. If she doesn't fulfill the condition, it's not a good get. Here, the chachamim say, eno get. It's just not a get. Period. Over there, it says, if she fulfills the tnai, it's a get. If she doesn't fulfill the tnai, it's not a get. Tosafot says, what type of language is that? There's no way she can fulfill these tnaim. She says, how is she going to be ole l'rakia? How does that work? So he says over here, yechol l'kaimo, ayudei Hashem. She can say the Shem Hashem, the ineffable name of God, and that she could rise up to the heavens that way. So since there is some far-fetched manifestation or possibility of doing this, it says that's why the Gemara uses the Lashon. If she fulfills it, it's good. If she doesn't fulfill it, it's no good. In essence, they're saying the same thing as the Chachamim here. It's not going to be a get. She can't do it. Tosafot is just questioning the language. What do you mean, if she could do it? Can she really do it? Tosafot says, yes, there is that possibility she could do it. Amarav Nachman Amarav, halocha ka Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. So Rabbi Nachman says the name of Amarav, that the halocha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, and that the tnai falls away, and the maseh, and the get is a kosher get. So Amarav Nachman Yitzchak, matznita nami deka, our Mishnah, it's not the Mishnah here, but the Mishnah in Baba Metzia, is meduyak, tektani. Koshev shalo lekaimo b'sofo, anything that you can fulfill in the back end, v'hit na'ala b'tchilato, and then he placed it as a condition of fulfillment, t'no'o kayam, then the t'nai stands. Ha, from there you would be midayek, the opposite, which is, e'efshar, if it is impossible to fulfill the t'nai, t'no'o batel, then the condition falls away, the maaseh remains, shma mina, that is supportive of Rav Nachman's understanding. V'ibaylu, harizig yitech, amanat shetachli basar chazir mahu. Can I ask a question? What happens in a case where he says to her, this is your get, on the condition you eat basar chazir, you eat pork. Amar Abayi, hihi. This is equivalent to the case that we just said before. It's impossible for her to be mikayim the tanai. The tanai is meaningless. Therefore, the tanai falls away and you have a good get. Rova Amar, efshar da'achlo v'lakyo. She could fulfill the condition. She'll eat pork and then she'll get malkot. She'll violate the Isur Lav. That's fine. So let her be mikayemet that way. We're not going to tell her to do it, but the fact that there is a possibility of fulfilling the t'nai makes it into a good t'nai. L'abaye klal l'atuye basar chazir. Abaye says that that statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, when he said klal, he said this is a general principle. Why did he say klal? That comes to include other cases. What other cases? This case, a case where he stipulates the t'nai conditioned on her violating some iser in the Torah. So over there, Rabbi says, that's included in a t'nai that is meaningless. And this is a tonight that is meaningless, and therefore the get goes through. The Rova Kazet. At the end of his statement, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, Kazet get. This is a get. When you say this is a get, it comes to exclude other cases where it's not a get. What's the excluded case? The Mute Basar Chazir. To exclude the case of Basar Chazir, where it is a good tnai, and the tnai will remain in place, and the get is not a good get unless she fulfills the tnai. So according to Abaye, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema includes this case because of the word klau. For Rova, it excludes this case because he uses the Lashon Kazeh. The Gemara later on will have to explain what each of them does with the other Lashon. Meitave, is that really true? It says that this is your get on condition that you consort with so-and-so. If she fulfills the condition, it's a good get. Vimlav, ain't a get. And if not, it's not a good get. Amanat shilotiv ali la abba ule avich. On condition that you do not consort with your father or with your father-in-law. In chushashin shema nivala lehen. We don't worry about the fact that she might have had bi'ah with them. Ve'ilu amanat shitav ali la abba ule avich loktani. Maradaz, it says that the cases here are not the same. You could have said, in the order of the Braita, on the condition that you should consort with such and such an individual, the Braita is clear that that is a good tnai, and therefore the get is not a good get until she fulfills the tnai. If you were continuing in the same vein of the Braita, you would have said, on condition that you have bi'ah with your father or your father-in-law, then that is a case where, according to Rava, it should be also a get that is stuck with its tnai. She can't fulfill the tnai because it's an isur. Okay, that's too bad. That is still considered to be a tnai because you could be mikayim the tnai. You just have to violate the isur. So how come the Braita didn't go in that direction? Because according to Rova, that would be another case where the tnai is upheld. Instead, the Braita flips and says, on the condition that you do not have bi'ah with your father and father-in-law, Braita says that's fine. It's a good tnai. And we assume she fulfills the tnai. We don't have any suspicions. We don't compel her not to get married because she might violate this. We assume she's not going to violate that because it would seem strange, obviously, for her to violate it, and there's no reason to believe that she would violate such a thing. So Gemara says, L'abaye neche. That works well for Abaye, who says that had they said a tnai libael to the father or the father-in-law, then that would have been a violation of an Isra Torah. According to Abaye, that's from Yehuda ben Metema, and it's nothing. And she would be in a good get. That's why the Braita doesn't bring that as an example. Rova Kasha. According to Rova, the Braita should have brought that as an example, because that would have also been a get that has its tnai embedded in it. I'm the Chava Rova. Bishlama Basar Chazir, Efshar the Achla Balakyo. In the case of Basar Chazir, she can make a decision to eat the pork and get the Malkot. Ploni Nami. In the case where the condition is that she consorts with such an individual, Efshar the Meshachto Bebe Mamona. She can compel him to do it through bribery, through paying him. That's what I said before. She can either pay him to consort with him, meaning to have bi'ah out of wedlock, or she can bribe him or pay him enough money that he is willing to marry her and have bi'ah in the context of marriage. Ella abo v'avich b'dido kaima? Wait a minute. With the father and the father-in-law, is that in her control to do an Easter like that? She might be willing to do an isur. Abba v'avich mi'avde isura. Since when will the father or the father-in-law do that violation? It's not something that is within her control. Because she can violate an isur at Torah, eating pork, and then it is in her control. Over here, it's not in her control. And even though we just said before, when it's an independent party, where there is some isur, whether it's an isur, be out with the pnuya, or that she has to get married, we said through monetary means she can compel it. So you see here, she can pay someone to violate an Isur. So why don't you say the same thing over here? It's a difference in the nature of the Isur. Over there, the Isur is just a bi'ah with a pnuya, which is a low-level Isur. Maybe not even an Isur d'oraita, maybe only an Isur d'rabbanan. There you can convince someone through money to violate the Isur. To violate arayot of a father or a father-in-law, serious, serious violations, chiyuv karet, that you can't, people, even if they're paid, will not do that. They won't agree to that, and therefore it's out of her control. And even Robo will agree that Rabbi Yehuda ben Metema in that case will say that tonight falls away, and it is a good get. And that's why the Braita did not bring that case. So Gemara says now, the Rova klal le'atuye abba v'avich. So the klal comes to include the case of abba v'avich, saying that that case, Rabbi Huda ben Betema agrees that it's not a good tnai. Kazeh is the mute basar chazir. Kazeh get, which is a miut, says this is a get and not something else. That refers to basar chazir, pork. It is a get with the tnai, and unless she fulfills the tnai, it's not a good get. That does not fall under the rule of Rabbi Huda ben Betema. Rabaye, for Rabaye is klal le'atuye basar chazir. The klal comes to include the case of basar chazir, which says that in that case it's also a tnai that's not fulfillable. And therefore, we drop the tnai completely. Kazeh limute ploni. Kazeh comes to exclude the case of ploni, which is the case we just said before, where she says to her, it's a good get if you consort with so-and-so. So, what do you mean it's a good get if you consort with so-and-so? That's also a violation of an Isur Doraita. And Abaye just told us that when you violate an Isur Doraita, or you're compelled to violate an Isur Doraita, that's not a good tnai, basar chazir. He says that's different. Deinu get that she developed all to be a da lehashchido b'mamon v'se'ena beheter. There is a manner by which it can be done beheter, which is that she can pay enough money that she can compel him to marry her and to have biyah with her, and so she can get her way. Because there is a method or a derech by which they can do it beheter, that is considered to be a good tnai. In the case of basar chazir, there's only one way to get there. That's be'isur. Since the only way to get there is Be'isur, but he says that's like the Tanai of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, which is impossible. Possible, the Tanai falls away, the Mas is there, and it's a good get. Over here, even though technically it's an Isur, it's a consort with so-and-so, nevertheless, she can come up with a method to force him or compel him to marry her and do it beheter. And since there's a way to do it beheter, it is a good Tanai, even according to Abaye, in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. So according to Rashi, Almanat shitiv ali the ploni can be explained in one of two ways, which is either she consorts with this individual, or she marries this individual, and either way she accomplishes the bi'ah. And so the reason over here that we say that the condition will work according to Abaye is because there is a manifestation or way to do it beheter, which is you can pay enough money to compel or convince this individual to marry her and do it beheter. On the other hand, Tosafot and some of the other Rishonim seem to indicate that Amanat Shetiv Ali means to consort out of wedlock. And therefore, the only way to accomplish this is to do it out of wedlock, or technically be sur. And so why is that different in the case of Abba and Avich? And that has to be what we said before, that there is a difference in the level of Isur. A small Isur, like consorting with a Pnuya, is something that is a minor infraction, and people can be convinced by money to do a minor infraction. On the other hand, something like Avich and Aviv, Abba and Avich, those are serious infractions, and those are things that no matter how much money someone pays to the individual, they would not be compelled to agree to do such a thing. And that's how you have to explain the difference in Abaye's position between Abba and Avich versus Ploni. Now, the issue that some of the Rishonim deal with over here is, how is she allowed to have bi'ah with this individual? Since the get is premised on her having bi'ah with this individual, then if she has bi'ah with this individual, she's still an eshet ish when she has bi'ah with that individual, because that is the premise of the get. The get is not effective until she has bi'ah with that individual. So Tosafot Reed phrases the question in this manner, Vikasha, Kamin shiyu kuyuma get salui bi'ilato b'chol zman shelo ba'al eshet ishi. Since the get is premised on the bi'ah, as long as she doesn't do bi'ah, there's no get here and she's an eshet ish. How do we let her consort with this individual if she is a married woman, because the get is yet to be effective? Therefore, there are Rishonim who believe, the Shulchan Aruch passes this way, that the chatchila, she should not have bi'ah with this individual. But, b'diavad, if she does have bi'ah with the individual, then the get goes through. On the other hand, the Rashba differentiates between a case where it's almanat, or how you view almanat, which is, if you believe almanat is kachshav dami, that it works the mefreya, then she can have do the bi'ah now, because retroactively the get would be effective, and therefore she won't be an eshet ish when she has bi'ah with this individual. On the other hand, if you think that almanat is not kachshav dami, then you can't do that l'chatchila, But b'diavad, you could do it. Or, in other words, that shita that says you can't do it, the chatchila, is premised or is under the belief that amanat doesn't work k'me'achshav, and therefore it's not the mafreya. On the other hand, the Tosafot read over here, you can see, says, the solution to that problem is that we say, havelei gita ubi'ila ba'im ke'achad. The get and the biyah happen simultaneous. We've seen this before, gita v'yada ba'im ke'achad. By the Eved, we say that also, that shichuro v'yado ba'im ke'achad. I mean that they happen simultaneous. Since with the biyah, the get goes effective, so simultaneous with the biyah, the get is effective, and therefore the biyah is not a biyah with an eshet ish. And that's how he solves this problem of the possibility that she's still eshet ish. But now the Gemara asks, Meitave, harizeh giteich amanat shetachli basar chazir. This is your get on the condition that you eat basar chazir. V'maita zara, if she is a non-kohenet, amanat shetachli b'chumah. On condition that you eat truma, which is also a problematic request, or if she is currently in nizira, that you drink wine to violate. So all these are violations of isurim min haTorah. Nitkayem atnai, or is it get? You fulfilled the tnai, it's a good get. Vimlav, ain't no get. And if not, it's not a good get. The Rava Necha, that sounds exactly like the Shita of Rava, that when you have these tnaim, we force you to keep the tnai and violate the Isur Doraita if you want it to be a get. Or, if you don't violate the Isur Doraita, it's not a good get. Since you have the ability to make a decision to do it, even though it will be a violation of an Isur Doraita, nevertheless, that's enough of a outlet that it makes the tnai a realistic tnai. Labaye, who says that that's not the case, Kasha, how does he deal with this Braita? Who says this Braita is according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema? Maybe Hamani Rabbonani. Maybe this bright is authored by the Rabbonan, who we saw the Tanakama. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, we saw the Tanakama believe that if you have an impossible tnai, it's not that the tnai falls away, but the whole get is nothing. It just doesn't work, because the tnai is a condition that never will be fulfilled, since it never will be fulfilled, that this will never be a get. And the same thing over here. The reason that it is a get only if you fulfill the tnai, or in essence it won't be a get, is because it's the shita of the Chachamim, not the shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And that's not a question on me. But Tipuklei, why doesn't he say, it's matna al-masha katuv b'torahu? He's making a condition to abrogate the Torah. Now, the question here seems to be on Abaye, which is, why does Abaye, in his defense along the way, say that this tonight falls away because it's impossible, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema? Why doesn't he simply say that when you make a condition against the Torah, the condition is null and void automatically because you're making a condition against the Torah? The Torah doesn't allow for such a thing. Hamzi will see in the Gemara in Kiddushin, it's a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says that's period. You cannot make any conditions against the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda differentiates or bifurcates the din between Isurim, where you cannot be matneh mashakadu b'Torah, versus mamon, monetary matters, where you do have a right to make conditions, because the Torah just prescribes the default scenario in monetary situations. So for instance, if you engage a shomer, and you don't specify the rules of engagement, then Torah gives you different categories. There's a shomer chinam, there's a shomer sachar, there's a shoel, there's a socher. Those are different types of shomrim. And you'll fall under one of those categories and abide or have to abide by the laws of the Torah. But if you stipulate beforehand that we have a relationship that is, for instance, you'll be a shomer sachar, I'm going to pay you, yet you will be patur from geneva and aveda. You can make such a condition according to Rabbi Yehuda. So here, the Gemara seemingly is going according to that shita of Rabbi Meir, where it doesn't matter. No matter what it is, you can't be matneh mashakatu b'Torah, number one. Number two is, the question is on Abaye, and it might also be on Rava. I mean, it's true it's a question on Abaye. Why didn't he ask this question? Or why doesn't he say that's the problem here? But it's also a problem for Rava. Why does the tnai stand? Why isn't that a problem? Matneh amashikatu b'Torah. Chol matneh amashikatu b'Torah, t'no batel. If you make a condition that is to abrogate a law of the Torah, the condition falls away. It's as if the condition doesn't exist, and the mas says there, and the condition is gone. So Rav Adabre de Ravika, an example of that is she'era, ksuta, ve'onata. Those are the obligations a man has to his wife when he gets married to her. She'era, suta, ve'onata, her mizonot, her clothing, and her conjugal rights. So those are all min haTorah. So if a person comes along and says, I'll marry you as long as I'm not obligated in these three items, that doesn't work. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't work because of the onah, which is an isur. On the other hand, for Rabbi Meir, it doesn't work because of she'erak suta ve'onata, because all of these items, you're not allowed to make a condition against the Torah, even in monetary matters. The she'erak suta, which are monetary matters, you can't make it tonight. Tuka akar, he is uprooting something that is a principal law of the Torah. Aval, hocha, ihi ka akra. He's not doing anything to be oker the Torah. She is going to have to be oker davar shebitorah. Or in essence, what is happening here is that the demand in the case of, I want to marry you, on the condition that I don't have to do such and such and such and such and such, that means I don't have to do what the Torah tells me. That is someone who's trying by themselves to undermine what the Torah says. They're saying, I want to be married, but I don't want the obligations the Torah imposes on a husband. That's being oker the Torah. Over here, he says, this is your get, on a condition you eat basar chazir. He's not being oker the Torah in any way. He's only making a tnai. He's not making anything that compels her to violate the Torah, or his tnai is not against the Torah. Matkifla ravina, klum ka akra ihi, ele l'kuyume l'tnai didei. The only reason she is violating the isur is in order to fulfill his request or his condition. So his condition, in essence, is compelling her to violate an isur haTorah, or, in other words, he is being oker haDavar min haTorah. It may not be him, but he's compelling someone else to be oker the Torah. Ishtach te'iu ka'akar. In the end, you find that he is being oker. Elamar Avina, ki amrina matnei ha'shakatu b'Torah tzino batel, kegon shirak suta banota, devadai ka'akar. In that case, it is absolute that you will violate the requirements of the Torah. Person says, I'm going to get married to you, but I'm not obligated in shirak suta ve'onata. There's only one way to read that. You are not going to do what the Torah asked you to do. On the other hand, of a hocha, mikamar la, who here, he's not compelling her to violate the Torah. Lo sagi lo achla. She has a right to choose not to eat the basar chazir. Lo teicho ve'lo tigaresh. She can abstain from eating the basar chazir, like she's supposed to, and she won't be divorced. He's not putting in her position or compelling her to do an Isur min haTorah. She has the alternative choice, which is not to violate the Isur in the Torah. That just means that whatever action he took will not be fulfilled. He's saying, you'll get a divorce if you do this. So that means if she does it, she'll get the divorce. On the other hand, if she doesn't do it, she won't get the divorce. But that's fine. She's allowed to be in that position, or may even be recommended that she does that, not violate the Isur haTorah. But since that choice exists, the tnai is not called matne amasha ketuv b'Torah. It's not a condition that is uprooting that which is written in the Torah. So even though it might be compelling someone else to violate the Isur haTorah, that person is not compelled. That person is given the choice based on the condition. And since it's a choice, that's not called oker davar min haTorah. Ketzed yaseh, the Mishnah says that if he gives the get to her improperly, which is that he makes a condition in the get, and then now he wants to change that fact. So how does he do that? He takes the get back from her and then re-gives it to her properly. That's what we said. Ketzed yaseh, itlena heimena v'yakzor itnena la. V'yomala harayat muter dechol adam. So that according to the Chachamim, if you put a condition in there, which is a condition that she is an improper condition or actually ruins the get, according to the Chachamim, if she says, Areyat muter dechol adam chutz miploni, that doesn't work. The way to rectify it is to take the get back and rehand it to her saying, Hariyat muteret lechol adam. Now, the fact that Tosfot we discussed on the Mishnah says he doesn't have to actually say that. He can say hagiteich. It's just because of the nature of the different cases in the Mishnah that the Tosfot read says that for consistency or parallel structure, the Mishnah uses the term Hariyat muteret lechol adam, but he can say hagiteich. This is your get. He can say any language that's the proper language, just as to give her the get again. The Gemara wants to understand, Mantana, who requires you to re-give the get? Amar Chizkiah, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hi. Chizkiah says it is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, ad she itlena haymena, till she takes it from her, v'yakzor v'itnenala. And then he goes in and gives it back to her. That's not in our case here. That's in a different case that we saw back on Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. The Gemara sees that as being the paradigm for someone who requires you to take back the get and then give it again in order to make it a kosher get, so he'll be the author of our Mishnah as well, where we have here this same logic, which is you take the get back and you give it. And then, Vayomer lai, kitech. And then she will say to her, this is your get, and this is one of the proofs of the Tosafot read, that you can just say, hey, kitech, you don't have to say, hariat muteret lechol adam. Yochanan amar, afilu teimer rabbi. This could even be according to Rabbi there who disagrees and says you don't have to take it back in order to make the get kasher. Dochon amar, your guy says, shani och, over here it's different, ho vikanato lipasel bo dekuna. Over here we require you to give it again because the original get when it was given had impact. The impact of the original get is that even though it's not a kosher get, nevertheless it's posel her lekuna because it has reach haget. Since it's posel her lekuna, that has some effectiveness. If it has some effectiveness, then as Rashi says over here, she makes a kinyan on the get, and now she has possession of the get. Since she has possession of the get, he can't change the dynamic of the get without taking it back and re-giving it to her. Because if he leaves it in the situation it is now, she already has a certain amount of possession over the get, because it causes her to be psula lekuna. And because of that, it makes it that the get is already given to her. Since it's given to her, he has to take it back and re-give it to her in order for it to work. And Rabbi would agree in this case. That's not enough for him to simply say, ah, forget about the Tanai. He has to take it back and re-give it because the Tanai itself, even though it was problematic, the get itself still had impact on the woman. That's the way Rashi explains it. There are Rishonim who don't love that explanation because if it's good enough to make her psula de kuna and it's her get now, once it's her get, then how does he now do the netina again with the get that is, in essence, a non-kosher get? It's a get that's pasul. It worked enough to make her psula de kuna, and you're saying from that you got a kinyan. That means that the get went in as a pasul get, and that's exactly how she acquired it, as a pasul get. You can't go back now and change it into a kosher get. So for that reason, some Rishonim explain that, and we spoke about this on the Mishnah, it's not that it's a get posul de kuna, and therefore she acquires it, because that's only a din derabanan. So the din derabanan that it is a get to make her psula de kuna already makes it look like it was a good get, midrabanan. So therefore, in order to unwind what it looks like, we tell you to take it back and re-give it to her in order to overcome that institution of the chachamim that it was psula de kuna, making it look like a good get. We say, no, take it back and now make it a good get, midoraita, that it should be a full-fledged get. That's one way to explain it. Or the other way to explain it, we mentioned this on the Mishnah, is to say that the original netina wasn't a netina. The reason that the get doesn't work is because the original giving wasn't done properly, therefore you never gave the get. And now if we would say that the get is fine when you change your mind now about the tanai, it would be the equivalent of her picking it up off the ground and getting her get. We need a netina, natan biyada. That has to be done at the time that the get is kasher. So he takes it back and gives it to her when the get is kasher, so that he accomplishes the netina of natan biyada. And now, the interesting thing here is Dilchom, your guys say, Chizkiah is from Bavel and is in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be responding to Chizkiah's position and saying to Chizkiah, your guys. Well, who is your guys over here? The Gemara in Baba Kama tells you when in the Rabbi Yochanan uses the term Dilchon Amar, it refers to Rav Kahana. So that Rav Kahana is also another one of the Amoraim from Bavel that moved to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, implications of this, according to Rashi, are that mitoch perusha kuntris mashma to the Chizkiah rabbo hayomer came. That Rabbi Yochanan was saying to this to Chizkiah. Chizkiah is Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. And he's saying to his Rebbe, Rav Kahana says such and such. The problem with that is, it sounds, first of all, chutzpahdik, that he's saying to his Rebbe, Rav Kahana says this, Dilchon Amar, your guy, says this to his Rebbe, Chizkiah. He wouldn't speak in that manner to Chizkiah. That's number one. And number two is that by the time Rav Kahana is interacting with Rabbi Yochanan, Chizkiah has already passed away. Because Rabbi Yochanan is asking shailas of Rav Kahana. Why would Rabbi Yochanan be asking shailas of Rav Kahana if his Rebbe is Chizkiah? If his Rebbe Chizkiah was alive, he would have asked Chizkiah those questions, not Rav Kahana. From there, Tosafot concludes that when Kavana comes from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, Chizkiah has already passed away. Chizkiah has passed away, then how could Rabbi Yochanan be saying to Chizkiah, Duchon Amar, your guy says? Doesn't make sense that he's speaking about Rav Kahana in that manner to his Rebbe Chizkiah, but his Rebbe Chizkiah is not there. So the answer that Tosfos gives, he gives us in other places in Shas, is Dochon Amar, he's referring to the other Talmidim in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had many Talmidim from Bavel that moved to Eretz Israel to learn by him. And so when he says Dochon Amar, he's speaking to those other Talmidim and saying to them, your guy, meaning Rav Kahana and Bavel, because you guys are Babylonians, says such and such. So then already he's not addressing his Rebbe. So that's number one. Number two is the possibility that his Rebbe was already passed away, and therefore he's speaking about Rav Kahana. But he's speaking to the Babylonian students in his class. That's how Tosafot deals with this problem. In the end, Tosafot also then says that maybe I'm not right about this, because it looks like Rav Kahana and Chizkiah did overlap in time. And he says in the end, Eliyish Lamar, the Shnei Pamim, Allah Rav Kahana, the Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kahana came up to Eretz Yisrael twice. At one time, his Rebbe Chizkiah was still alive. Later on, he came again when Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe Chizkiah already passed away. And that's where this incident might have happened. In the second time that he made Aliyah, rather than the first time that he made Aliyah. Others suggest that the Chizkiah mentioned here is not the Chizkiah that's the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, but rather the Chizkiah that is the grandson of Rav two generations later. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan could speak in that manner to him, because he wasn't his Rebbe. Now the Gemara goes to the last piece of the Mishnah, which is that, Kedavo b'tocho, if he wrote it in the get. So he wrote the condition into the get and then erases it. We say that doesn't help because the get is inherently pasul, and erasing it's not going to help the issue. Amar Rav Safra, Kedavo b'tocho tznan. The Mishnah says that it's written inside of it. Gemara says, Pshita, Kedavo b'tocho tznan. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. What are you adding, Rav Safra, if the language of the Mishnah is Kedavo b'tocho? That's the language of the Mishnah. And you're coming on to tell us the Mishnah means Kedavo b'tocho? That's right, because that's what is written in the Mishnah. Why would you think otherwise? The Gemara says, that's Pshita. What's the question here? Mal d'tema, the Gemara says, no, it's not so simple. Because I would have thought, Hani mile lachar ha-toreif. That's only true if you wrote it after the toreif, the main section of the get. Aval lifnei ha-toreif. If you wrote it before the main section of the get, afilu al-pe nami pasul. Even if it's done orally, it is also a pasul. Kamash malan, that is not the case. Kamash malan is that if you write it, then it's problematic. If you do it bal-pe, then it is fine. So Rav Safra's position is very straightforward, which is that if it's written, whether it's before the toreif, whether it's, if it's after the toreif, then it is problematic. Bal-peh. Whether it's, if it's after the toreif, and even if it's before the toreif, as long as it's bal-peh, there is no problem. And that's what Rashi explains over here. Davka ketavo b'tocho hu delele takanta. Only if it's actually written in the get is there no way to fix the problem. If he didn't write it inside of it, and if he tells Edim that that's the condition by which I want to get written, it's not pasul b'kach. As long as at the time that he gives it over to her, he simply says, hariat muter d'chol adam. So if you're trying to place a t'nai in the get that is otherwise problematic, which is, we know from our Mishnah, is if you use michutz miploni, that hariyat muter d'chol adam chutz miploni, when you use the lashon of chutz, it doesn't work. So that lashon, if you have it written into the get before the Torah being the main part of the get, where it says her name, his name, hariyat muter d'chol adam, the parts of the get that are not the boilerplate language, stuff that you have to write at the time of the get, not that you can have written beforehand. So if the t'nai is written before that, even if you erase it afterwards, it's not going to help, because the whole premise of the get was on a t'nai that was pasul, and therefore it's no good according to Rav Safra. On the other hand, if the stipulation is made after the get, the ikar toreif part of the get, then if you erase it, it doesn't affect the fact that the ikar part of the get was written before the t'nai and was a good get because the t'nai came afterwards. And if you erase the t'nai, it's no longer there. So then, as Tosfot says over here, if you lose a lashon of chutz after the toreif, that's also problematic. So what are you telling me that it's all, everybody says it's fine afterwards? He says, the chutz achar toreif enu posel ela mi derabanan. Chutz after the toreif is only problematic mi derabanan. Gzeru atal lifnei toreif. Because of gzera that you might put it before the toreif. Writing in chutz after the toreif, as long as it's written into the get, it's posel. That's a gzera. We don't let you do it afterwards because you might come to write it beforehand. Or if he stipulates before they write the get that I'm going to say Hariat Muter Dechol Adam Chutz Miploni, but then when he gives the actual get to the woman, he simply says Hariat Muter Dechol Adam, that is also fine according to Rav Safra, because at the time of Netinat HaGet, which is the Ikar Zman where it matters, he said the right thing then. He said Hariat Muter Dechol Adam, and therefore it's totally fine according to Rav Safra. And therefore, any condition that you make before the Toref will be fine, as long as you don't write it into the get, because if you write into the get, that's already a gzera, auto writing chutz into the get. Almanat, as we saw back in the Mishnah, is a lashon that is a good lashon. It works. Mechutz does not work. But almanat does work. So what it seems here is that if you use a lashon almanat, it would not technically be basul. Only the lashon of chutz would be pasul. Ah, so why are we saying here, according to Rav Safra, it's problematic? It's because when you write almanat, gzeira, otu, chutz, we say that we don't want you writing that into the get. And since you wrote almanat, even though technically it's kosher, we're going to make it pasul, gzeira, otu, that you wrote chutz in the get. But that means if you said something orally, it doesn't matter if you said the word chutz or almanat, it'd be totally fine. Because any oral stipulation has no impact on the get itself when they're writing the get. Now, Rava comes and argues on Rav Safra. Rav Amar, lo shanu el alachara toref. That's only true after the toref. Aval lifnei toref, if it's before the toref, afilu al peh nami pasul. Even if you do it orally, it is pasul. Va'azda Rava letameh. And Rava is l'shitato. Damalo Rava lahanu dikhatve gitei. That Rava explained to those sofrim that write gitin, shatku shtuke the baal, you should silence the baal, make sure he doesn't say anything to you, adak tavtitu le letoref the gita. Till you finish the main section of the get, tell the baal, quiet. I don't want you speaking. After I finish this, you can tell me all the information you want. Why? Because Rava's afraid that if the baal goes ahead and specifies or stipulates the tnai before he writes the get, that would affect the get. And basically, the machloket here between Rava and Rav Safra is, what is the problem in terms of having the tnai before the toref? And Rava says over here, lo shanu l'achara toref. That is only after the toref. Aval lifnei toref, afilo al peh nami pasul. But before the toref, even orally, is considered to be problematic. So now, what Rava says, first and foremost, is that, even if it's written into the get after the toref, then it is problematic. And that means not only when it's written before the main part of the get is it problematic, but if a language that does not work is written afterwards, it is also problematic. Rava then says, in addition to that, if you say something ba'al peh beforehand, that is also pasul. Here we have a machloket in the Rishonim as to why when he says beforehand, orally, Hariat Muter Dechol Adam Chutz Miploni, he tells the Edim that's why he's going to write the get and that's how he's going to give the get. Why is that problematic? So one possibility of why that's problematic is Gzeiru Atu. Fundamentally, saying something Baal Peh is not problematic. And therefore, if he gives the get after he had said Hariat Muter Dechol Adam Chutz Miploni before it was written, min a Torah, that would have been a fine get. Because when he gives it without making that stipulation, it's as if he has waived that stipulation, and therefore it is a kosher get. Ah, so why do we say that when he says it baal peh, that it is problematic according to Rava? That is gzeira otu, that he might come to write michutz in the get. We say that if he says it baal peh, it's also problematic. So we worry about him saying it beforehand and making that oral stipulation. And the Chachamim said, don't do that because if we allow that to happen, then people might come to write it into the get. And if you write it into the get, it certainly is problematic. But that means any other tznai, any other condition which is a proper condition, no matter whether for the toref, after the toref, it's not a problem. Because otherwise that would become a gzeira the gzeira. And therefore if you almanat, which we said in our Mishnah works, if you say Ariat Muter Dechol Adam Almanat Shelotina Sida Ploni, since that language works for the Torah, after the Torah you can do it Baal Peh, none of those are restricted. That's one way to learn Rava. That's the sheet of the Ramban and the Ritva and others. Whereas Rashi and Tosafot both over here suggest that the psul according to Rava of Baal Peh before the get is a psul mi'ikaro. It is a psul min adin. As Rashi says over here, shere'ikar get amnatke nichtav. Because when you make that stipulation before the get, it impacts the way that the get is written. And so even if it's not written in there, the fact that you orally stipulated that, when he writes the get with that in mind. And therefore, it affects the nature of the get, even though it's not written into the get. And that means, according to Rashi and Tosafot, if you write in chutz before the Torah, if you write in chutz after the Torah, pasul, you, ba'al peh, say chutz before the Torah, also pasul. So now, when it comes to other items, if these are all psulim mi'ikaro, then when you come to gzeirot, we're going to suggest that there are other gzeirot that we can extend from this that will impact because they're not considered to be a gzeir l'gzeira. Unlike the Ramban and the Ritva who say that already the oral stipulation is a gzeira, if you extend beyond that, it will be a gzeir l'gzeira. But according to Rashi and Tosafot, where when you say b'chutz beforehand, that's a problem mi'ikar adin, because the get was written with that stipulation in mind, therefore it'll have implications in terms of where we do make the gzeirot. And that's why the Mishnah says if you write into the get after the Toreif, it's problematic, is because gzeirot that you'll write it before the Toreif. And so now you have three things that are asur according to Rava. That is, writing, chutz before the Toreif, pasul midoraita. Saying, chutz before the Toreif, posul midoraita. Writing in chutz after the Toreif, that's a gzeirah. We don't let you do it afterwards because you might come to write it beforehand. That means that beforehand, if you make any stipulation before they write the get, it is pasul. If you say chutz, it's pasul mi'ikaro, it's pasul min adin, because that ruins the way they write the get. Almanat, we won't let you say a condition of almanat beforehand because gzeira, also you might say chutz beforehand. And therefore, according to the Shita, the only way it's mutar is if you do almanat afterwards, and almanat afterwards can even be written into the get. Because then it would be gzeira l'gzeira if we said it was problematic. Why can't you write in almanat afterwards? Oh, because you might write in chutz. Well, writing in chutz is already only a problem because you might write chutz beforehand. And that's gzeira l'gzeira. According to the Shita of Rashi and Tosafot, any condition that is stipulated before the Toreif is problematic. If you say chutz, it's problematic min adin. You say amanat, it's zera, otu, you said chutz, it's problematic. And the only thing that is mutar is if you write amanat into the get. Whereas according to the Ramban and the Ritva and the other Rishonim, the only problem beforehand is if you state chutz beforehand. You say amanat beforehand, that's fine, because chutz isn't even a problem by itself. It's only a problem because you might write chutz. So everyone, not going to be gozera, gzera, the gzera to say almanat also is problematic beforehand. And therefore, any condition that you make before the Toreif will be fine, as long as you don't write it into the get, because if you write into the get, that's already a gzera, auto writing chutz into the get, and that'll only be one gzera derabanan. So here, the machlok between Rav Safra and Rava is, how do you view when there is an oral conveying of the Tanai, how does that impact on the Sofrim? Rav Safra says, nothing. If he doesn't write it in there, it doesn't change the nature of the get. They write the get, they ignore what the husband says. And afterwards, when the husband wants to put the Tanai in place, that's his choice. He wants to do it orally, he wants to do whatever it is. If he doesn't compel them to write it in there, then there's no issue. On the other hand, according to Rava, if you stipulate the Tanai beforehand, that affects the way that they write the get. So now, what will come out from this is that Rav Safra says, if it's written into the get, a problem. If you make an oral stipulation, no problem, because the get is still written because shrut, and the Tanai is an oral Tanai. Rava will say, doesn't matter whether it's written into the get before the Torah, or said before the Torah, it is problematic. So now the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Hatanaim poslim beget divrei Rabbi. Rabbi says that if you have conditions in the get, and as Rashi notes over here, the Tanaim that we're talking about over here are Tanaim other than the one that we've been mentioning till now, meaning any type of Tanai. is pasul in the get. Divrei Rabbi. Vamimimim. Kosher pasul al peh, pasul bichtav. Anything that if you make such a condition orally is problematic, then when you write into the get, it is also problematic. Kosheinu pasul al peh, anything that is not problematic when you use it, or when you stipulate orally, einu pasul bichtav. Chutz, when you use the term chutz, shepusel al peh, that ruins the get when it's done orally, then posel bichtav. It also ruins it when you write it into the get. Almanat, v'yuzel lashon of almanat, she'enu posel al peh, that does not ruin the get when you do that orally, she'enu posel bichtav, then it also is she'enu posel when you write it into the get. So Rashi writes over here, in the Shita of Rabbi, which is also the Shita of the Ramban and the Rashba, Rabbi says any condition that is written into the get is problematic. As Rashi says over here, Puslim beget im katavo betocho. If you write something into the get, it is problematic. Va'afilu nitzkayem atnai. Even if the condition was fulfilled. What Rabbi says in essence is, if you write something into the get beforehand, pasul, that ruins the get, no matter whether you are mekayem the tnai, what the nature of the tnai is, it is problematic if it is written into the get before the toref. Seemingly, it doesn't matter where it's written, whether it's written before the toref, after the toref, as long as it's written into the get, it's posel, because they're gazrur amanat atu chutz, and therefore, anything that is written into the get is problematic according to Rabbi, whereas the Chachamim think that only things that are problematic when you give the get and say them, if they're written into the get, then they would be problematic, because they are chisaron in the kritut, and it's irrespective of whether they were erased or your nitkayim. If they're fulfilled afterwards, it's still a problem because the mere fact that they're written into the get itself causes the problem because there's a choser kritut. According to Rabbi, no matter what you write in and where you write it in, according to the Chachamim, if it would be a type of tnai that if stated at the time netina would be problematic, then when written into the get, it's a chisaron in the kritut and therefore it's not a good get. Whereas Tosafot disagrees with that view of Rashi and says, if it's written in and they're mekayim the tnai, there's no reason over here why this should not be a good get. Especially if we're talking, as Rashi says here, about tnaim that are not like chutz. Tosafot says over here, demai shayach l'gzor ba'amanat shetinili matayim zu zukiyotzin bo ata chutz. Why would there be any reason to be gozer here? Because when he makes a condition in the get that you have to give me 100, 200 zuz, what's the problem with that? Even if you're mekayemet, that your gozer ato chutz, why would you get mixed up with the issue of chutz? Rashi sees this as being a blanket gezerah that you cannot put any conditions prior to the Torah faget. Even if you're mekayem that's na'im, it doesn't work because they're written in beforehand. Tosafot says that's too broad a net because then your gozer ato everything, nobody's going to get confused with chutz. When you write in other tnaim that have nothing to do with the issue of chutz miploni. And therefore, the Ri narrows the scope of Rabbi's statement. And he says that this is a case where the tnaim, the conditions are not fulfilled. Instead of fulfilling the conditions, they erase that which is written in the get. And what Tosafot says is that erasure does not equal the accomplishment of the tnai. And the problem is, since it was written into the get, becomes part and parcel of the nature or the writing of the get. And therefore this get, its writing is premised on the tnai that was written in there. And therefore when you erase it afterwards, that does not help you to accomplish the tnai. It doesn't help you to make the get an effective get. The only way to make the get effective is if you actually accomplish the tnai that you laid out there. On the other hand, the Chachamim disagree and say, kosher posel peh, posel bichtav. Anything that is problematic when, as Tosafot says here, bal peh means b'shat netina. Anything that would be problematic when you're giving of the get would also be problematic if you write it into the get and then erase it. Because then the get was not written the shame kritut because it had this tnai embedded in it. On the other hand, anything that when you say it at the shat netina, at the time that you give the get, would not be problematic, then writing that into the get and erasing it in the get will not be problematic as well, because that will not affect the nature of the kritut in the get once you've erased it, because it doesn't have impact on the writing of the get itself. Only something that would be problematic at the time of netinah do we say colors the nature of the Torah that's written when it's written into the get? Therefore, if you erase it, it doesn't help you. Whereas something that, when it's Peshat Netina, would be totally kasher, there we say that it doesn't affect the writing of the get. The writing of the get stands independently, and therefore if you erase it, you eliminate it, and the get is a kosher get, according to the Chachamim. Whereas other Rishonim believe that when Rabbi says, Kol HaTnaim Poslim BeGet, does not mean that they're actually physically written into the get, but any Tnai that is stipulated at the time that the get is being written are problematic. And that, unlike Rashi, who says they literally have to be written in, and they're problematic even if you're Mikayim them, and unlike the Balei HaTosafot, who say that only if you're not Mikayim them are they problematic, but they also have to be written into the get in order to be problematic, according to Rabbi, then erased instead of accomplished. These Mefarshim believe that, Rabbi believes that Ktivat the get doesn't mean literally written into the get, but rather something that is stipulated at the time of the writing of the get. Any Tnai that is stipulated at the time of the writing of the get is problematic according to Rabbi. The Chamim respond and say no, that anything that is problematic Be'al Peh, mean anything that is problematic at the Zman Netina to get, only things that if you mention them at the time of the giving the get would make the get Pasul, they are also problematic when you mention them before the Ktivat the get. But it's not a blanket statement that you may not make any stipulations before the writing of the get. The only stipulations that are problematic are stipulations that if you said them when you gave the get would be problematic. They're also problematic to say when you are writing the get. And then Rabbi says it's a blanket isur, that anything that is said prior to the writing of the get is problematic. Amar Rabbi Zera, machloket lifnei atoref. This machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi is only if you write it in before the ikar part of the get. The Rabbi Sabar, Rabbi holds, Gazrinan almanat atu chutz. For gozer almanat, which is a good lashon, because of chutz. Had you written in chutz, it would have been problematic. So now, if you write almanat, even though it's not problematic, what goes there, otu chutz. Rabbanan savre, lo gazrinan. Almanat, atu chutz. We don't worry about almanat because you might write chutz. The Chachamim believe that we do not go there, and therefore if you write chutz, it's problematic. You write almanat, it's fine. Aval achara toreif, if it's written in after the main part of the get, divrei akol kasher. Everybody believes that it is a kosher get. And Tosafot the Shitato says here, when you say divrei akol kasher, it means that if it's written after the toreif, everybody agrees that it is kasher. And if it was said ba'al peh before the writing of the get, both according to Rabbi and the Chachamim, it'll be kasher. Because without it being written into the get, nobody thinks that it's problematic. So then, as Tosafot says over here, what do you mean divrei akol kasher? Afal pi shdebechutz pasul afilu achara toreif. If you lose a lashon of chutz after the toreif, that's also problematic. So what are you telling me that it's all everybody says it's fine afterwards? K'damrinim b'samuch v'ibaydeim al achara toreif v'divrei akol mikom akom lo gazrinim be'amanat atu chutz. He says, the chutz achara toreif enu posel ela mi derabanan. Chutz after toreif is only problematic mi derabanan. Gzeru atal lifnei toreif. Because of gzera that you might put it before the toreif. Velo gazrina gzera the gzera. And here we're not going to put in a gzera to a gzera, which is that the problem here is before the toreif. And only if it's written before the toreif is it a problem. So now why are you not allowed to use chutz after the toreif? Baal peh? Because you might write it before the toreif. But then we're going to say, wait, if you do it baal peh after the toreif, that's going to be kosher. Because that's a gzera le gzera. The writing chutz after the get, after the toreif is already fine. So why can't you write it after the toreif? Because maybe you'll come to write it before the toreif. So now, why aren't you going to do a baal peh? Because you might write it after the toreif. Writing it after the toreif is only be the rabbanan already. So to say you're not going to do a baal peh after the toreif, that's already a gzera the gzera. Umatznitan diktani ketavo vukimna bechutz. In our Mishnah where we established that the Mishnah speaking in a case of bechutz, aval manat lo pasil b'aval manat divrei akol kasher. Remember that's how we established the Mishnah that the word ela meant chutz. Therefore a stipulation of chutz miploni, ariat muter dechol adam chutz miploni is problematic according to the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's still not a shiur. But if you say almanat, even the Chachamim agree that's not a shiur. Then the case of the Mishnah, when it says kitavo, and says we established that that's talking about mechutz. When you use the word chutz, then some say that'll be that you wrote it in before the Toreif, and according to the Rabbanan, it'll be pasul, because when you write it before the Toreif, the Chachamim say when you shot netina or baal peh, had you said this, it would have been problematic. Then when you write it in, it's problematic. But in the case of almanat, it would be fine. And that's even lifnei ha-toreif, according to the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi and say, if almanat works when you do it baal peh, the shat netina, then if you write it into the get, it's not a problem. Or you can suggest that it's after the toreif, and the reason that it's not pasul is because it's after the toreif. And even Rabbi will agree with that, because according to Rabbi Zera, divrei akol kasher when it's after the toreif. So even if he wrote almanat after the toreif, even Rabbi in that case will agree that it is kasher. Rabbi says machloket achara toreif. Machloket here between Rabbi and the Chachamim is after the main part of the get. Ariyat muter tochol adam, if you write it in there. The Rabbi sava gazrinin ato lifnei toreif. He says, we're gozer after the toreif or before the toreif. Rabbanan savrei lo gazrinin ato lifnei toreif. That we don't worry about from writing now because it might be before the toreif. Aval, lifnei toreif. If you write it before, divrei akol pasul. Everybody agrees that writing it before the toreif is absolutely pasul. As Tosfot explains over here, that machloka lachara toreif, according to Rava, is the Rabbi gazar almanat de lachara toreif ato almanat de lifnei toreif. The Rabbi says that almanat after the toreif is problematic because of almanat before the toreif. But afa gav that lifnei toreif, even the word almanat is only problematic midrabanan because it's gzeira otu chutz miploni that you wrote beforehand. Nevertheless, it's not considered to be a gzeira the gzeira, but rather it's kula chada gzeira hi. Because it's already written into the get, writing into the get is all part of one gzeirah. We don't let you write almanat in the get, whether it's beforehand because of chutz, or afterwards because of almanat. Afterwards, we're mistaken with almanat beforehand, which will be mistaken with chutz. Since it's written into the get, it all looks like one big gzeirah, that we don't let you write conditions into the get, whether before or after the toreif. Whereas the Tosfot read says over here, Perish, the Sfirle the Rova, Kol Tnaim de Michtevei Begita Mekame HaToreif, Pasul Min HaTorah. That any condition that's written in before the Toreif is a Pasul Min HaTorah, Shein Zeh Sefer Kritut, because it's no longer a Sefer Kritut. Kemen Shetznai Katuv B'Tocho, because there's a condition before the get's even written, that because it's a lack Kritut. Vavu Puyushu Tznai Kasher, even if it's a Tznai that otherwise had he said it when he was giving the get to the woman would have been fine, here, it would have been problematic. Whenever she wants to keep it, you have to write the get with the enemy tonight it. But if he wants to make a condition, do it when he gives it to her. And therefore, according to the Tosafot, when Rava says that, Rabbi says after the Toreif, Amanat is Asur, that's no gzera the gzera, that's just one gzera. Because anything written in before the get, according to this sheet in Rava, is pasul the gamrei, whether it's chutz or whether it's almanat. And so therefore, when you make a gzera of almanat afterwards, a gzera almanat afterwards because of almanat before, which is pasul midoraita. And that's only one gzera. According to Tosafot, that before the toreif, only improper languages, according to Rabbi, are asum midoraita. And almanat is only asur because of chutz. Therefore, almanat is also asur. Then when you're gozer of almanat afterwards, that seemingly is a gzera l'gzera. And that's what Tosfot is trying to address and say, no, it's kula gzera achati. But for the Tosfot to read, he never has to say that because he thinks that whatever is asur beforehand is asur the gamre. And of course, Rovo the Shitato will say that beforehand, whether according to Tosfot, according to the Tosfot read, whether he wrote in chutz miploni, that he says, ariyat muter dechodam chutz miploni, if he wrote it in, or he spoke that out orally to the Sofrim before they wrote it. Both of those are psulim. We saw that already in the sheet of Rava before. And therefore, those are psulim de oraita. The only question is, with regards to almanat, that is written into the get beforehand, Tosafot thinks that's only a gzeira, otu, that you might write chutz in beforehand. Whereas the Tosafot sees that as a fundamental problem, according to Rava, because you're putting a condition before the Toreif. That means that the get was not a full kritut because there was a condition placed in it beforehand. And of course, it'll still be subject to the machloka we saw before when you lose other mishonot, baal peh, beforehand, whether those are problematic, like the Balei Tosafot say, or are they fine like the Shita of the Ramban and the Ritva? Umatznitan diktani katvo. In our mission where it says, write it down, Vukimna b'chutz, and we said it's a case of chutz. Av almanat, lo pasil, but if you use almanat, it's not problematic. But chutz is not kasher afterwards. Achara toreif. That is after toreif, v'rabononi. And it's according to the shita of the rabbonon. And therefore here you'd be forced to explain our mishnah when almanat is okay, is in a case when it's written in after the toreif, according to the shita of the chachamim. Because according to Rabbi, anytime you write anything in, according to Rova, in the get, it is problematic, whether it's Tifnei Toreif or Achara Toreif. Tani Avua de Rabbi Avin, Kameh de Rabbi Zera. Katav get al Tznai. He writes a get with a condition in it. Divrei HaKol Pasul. Where it says, Divrei HaKol Pasul? What do you mean everybody says that it's Pasul? Ba'am Mifliga Plige. We just saw Machog between the Chachamim and Rabbi about this issue. How can you say Divrei HaKol Plige? Ela, Ema, the divrei HaKol kasher. According to everyone, it is kasher. Ve'echidomi. What's the case where everybody agrees that it's kasher? Lachara toreif. If he writes it in after the toreif, everybody agrees that it is kasher. Ve'leima harizeh pasul firabi. Why don't you just say that the lashon here is harizeh pasul, and the author of that position is Rabbi. So Rabbi says when you write it in, no matter where you write it, it is pasul. Where it says, Tana divrei HaKol atnei. Bright though, when the Tana brought the Brighta down, he says, everybody agrees. Now, kasher v'pasul michlefle. He could learn from his Rebbe, divrei HaKol said something. And now it's either kasher or pasul. A Tana is likely, when he's learning, to make a mistake and forget that his Rebbe said kasher or pasul, he doesn't remember. But, hare zeb divrei HaKol lo michlefle. He won't get mixed up between, this is an opinion of a yachid, and this is everybody agrees to. So what the Gemara challenged, and Rabbi Zera here, over here, explains the Braita in a manner that fits his position. Remember, Rabbi Zera says, Machloket lifnei ha-toreif. The Machloket is before the toreif. Achar the toreif, Divrei HaKol. So now, Divrei HaKol, Achar the toreif, is Divrei HaKol kasher, according to Rabbi Zera. That means, Divrei HaKol pasul, there is no Divrei HaKol pasul, according to Rabbi Zera. If it's after the toreif, everybody thinks it's kasher. If it's before the toreif, it's Machloket, Rabbi, and the Chachamim. So when you have a braita that says Divrei HaKol Pasul, there's no such case like that for Rabbi Zera of Divrei HaKol Pasul. So what does he have to do? He has to amend the braita. So what does he do? He says change the braita from saying Divrei HaKol Pasul to Divrei HaKol Kasher. And then he solves his problem because he has a case for Divrei HaKol Kasher that's Achara Toreif, where Divrei HaKol Kasher. The Gemara says, if he's already amending the braita, why doesn't he amend it in this manner? Instead of saying Divrei HaKol Kasher, just say Harizegat Pasul. Harizeh get pasul is according to the sheet of Rabbi before the toreif. And he can amend the braita to read that way. Why is he changing pasul to kasher instead of changing divrei HaKol to harizeh get pasul? My answer is because the nature of the problem. A Tana will make a mistake about kasher and pasul, get confused and forget whether he said kasher and pasul. Tana will not make a mistake of divrei HaKol versus harizeh. And that divrei HaKol is a big statement. Harizeh means the dat yachid. So that they won't mix up. So you got that part right. The Divrei HaKol got right. What he mixed up was the kasher and pasul. And that's why when he amends the braita, he amends it from pasul to kasher and doesn't amend it from Divrei HaKol to harizeh. Okay, we're going to stop here. But the Mishnah on the top of Pehei Amud Aleph.